Good morning. I'm going to start with a familiar verse in Matthew 11. I'm just going to share this verse, and then we're going to jump to Psalm 25. So the verse is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know that we've talked about this before. I know I've talked specifically about this verse before. It was in my mind over the last couple days, thinking about this aspect of desiring to be yoked with Jesus. I was just thinking, Lord, I'll be candid and say it was thinking about the retreat. And we were having a lot of discussion. We found out like Thursday, Friday, whatever it was, do we go? And I was just wrestling, like, Lord, should we do this? It's short notice. What do we do? And all I could think was, Lord, I don't want to do this if this is not what you want. Like, I just want to be in this yoke with you. And if your yoke is going somewhere else, I don't want to be going, I don't want to be going in a different direction. I want to be in this yoke with you. And this is why it came to my mind. And so I was thinking about this, and when I think about being yoked with Jesus, two thoughts came to my mind quickly before we leave this. The very first thing, and we've talked about this before, the stories that I've read about training oxen with yoke, and I have no oxen, so I have no experience with this personally. It's only what I read. I've got two dogs. They're not well trained. You take an experienced oxen and you yoke them with an inexperienced oxen, and the inexperienced oxen learns from the more experienced one. The simple thing. And I was envisioning this. It says that if we do this, we will find rest for our souls. If we take his yoke upon us. So I have this picture in my mind. So this is my question. If you were to get yoked up with Jesus, and you woke up at 7 in the morning and went to bed at 10 at night, and so for those 15 hours, all you were doing was this, trying to break out of this yoke. Is this, like, I just have this picture in my mind of an ox that's just continually ramming against the side, trying to get away from this more experienced ox that's saying, this is the way we're going to go, and this other one's going, no, I'm going this way, I want to do this, I want to do this, and I don't want to go with you. And I'm just thinking, if that's the way that we walk with the Lord, I think we'd all agree that's not going to be a very restful day for this ox, or for me, if that's me, if I'm picturing this with Jesus, if all I'm thinking about is that. And so the first thing that comes to my mind, why I'm saying that you made me think, what in the world are you talking about? It's just the simple aspect that if we're going to be yoked together with Jesus and we want to have experience this rest that he talks about, I believe the first thing is if we're sitting here saying, yes, I want to be yoked together with Jesus, we have to learn from his example right out of the gate, which was to say, not my will, Lord, your will be done. In choosing to be yoked together with Jesus, it is, and for this to be successful and not just be a continual battle, a continual butting of heads or a continual smashing yourself against this yoke that he's saying is actually easy, his burden is light, this is a place of rest, then we have to come to a place where we can say, okay, Lord, wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. I'm not going to sit here and smash against the side of this yoke trying to break free so I can do my own thing. I'm willing to let go of my own thing. And simply, I just want to know where you're going. So that, to me, is the very first thing. When we think about being yoked together with Jesus and desiring to come to this place of rest is a willingness to say, I'm giving up, like the song says, all for Jesus. Isn't that the one that says, I believe that's the song, maybe there's a different one, it says, all my hopes, all my plans, we sort of lay all these things aside and say, Lord, I desire this place of rest. And many of you have experiences. I can say this. This is what brought me really to my knees and ultimately brought me to Jesus. When I had gone after other things and found, man, nothing else satisfies, and just finally coming to this place of like, okay, Lord, his desire isn't that. His desire is that we could just trust him and not run after all these other things, but just come to a place of saying, Lord, I want to be yoked with you and surrender my will to you and just follow you. So that's step one. The second thing then is to learn to hear his voice, to learn to hear his ways. Maybe we have surrendered our will, but we still find ourselves, he's going this way and we're going this way. And all of a sudden, you know, it takes finding out, man, I made another bad decision, another bad decision. And I was just thinking, Lord, how do I learn in the midst of this? How do I learn your ways? How do I learn to hear your voice in the midst of this? And that's what took me to Psalm 25. It was neat. We were with a couple last night, and the brother just started singing this song from Psalm 25. And it was just like, I just sat there and listened. I'm like, man, I need to go home and look at this psalm. So I'm going to read this psalm. We're going to go quickly through it, but there was six things, and I am going to move reasonably quickly. Joel's going to share after, but I want to touch on six things and just challenge you in the sense of maybe a question. Are you in a place where you're saying, you know what? I am finding my walk with Jesus restful. If the answer to that is yes, then praise God. Continue on. Be like what Paul says. He says, let's not say we've attained, but let's continue to press on. But if you're in a place of saying, yeah, you know, I can genuinely say, I don't find his commandments burdensome. I do find my walk with the Lord is a place of rest, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and I'm rejoicing in that, then praise God. Continue to press on in that. If you're sitting here saying, I don't feel like I have a rest for my soul right now, and nor do I feel like necessarily his commandments are easier or burden, and I actually find them burdensome, and I say, you know what, then it's a time to seek the Lord, because Jesus said, my commandments are easy. Or he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said through John in 1 John chapter 5, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Being yoked together with Jesus is contrary to what our natural mind would think. Our natural mind would think this is wearing this heavy yoke is a place of it's a burden. What's the true burden? I said this before when I talked about this. You have a choice. You get to wear a yoke, full stop. That's the part where we think in our minds, if we choose not to be yoked together with Jesus, we're free of a yoke. That is a deception. What yoke are you going to wear if you're not wearing Jesus' yoke? Who are you yoked with? You're yoked with the devil. That's the deception. The enemy would make us think this is a place of freedom. But if we choose to break free of Jesus' yoke and say, now I'm free, really what we're now yoked with is we're yoked with the flesh. We're yoked in a place where we are a slave of sin. And so this is our mind, our carnal mind, and the devil would try and deceive us into believing this is freedom. And that's why Jesus said, come and be yoked with me. Don't be yoked with him. He's a liar, and he seeks to destroy you. He's seeking to destroy your life. And if you're not yoked with me, he'll tell you you're free. You're not free. You're actually yoked with him. And that is a place of slavery. And it says that if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. But the one who is a slave of sin, that's the slave. That's why Paul could say, you know what, these chains, you got me chained on the outside, but I'm free on the inside, right? And that's the place we want to be. And that's why Jesus could say so genuinely in his care for us, hey, if you yoke with me, you're going to experience a freedom. I can stand here and I believe I can say to many of you who've experienced that, I know what it is like to wear the other yoke. And as much as the flesh and the mind, the carnal mind would tell us it's freedom, it's death. It is death. It's a life of hell, a condemnation, literally. It is hell. We think hell is much like eternal life can start today, where it says this is eternal life, is to know him. The other, I would say, is true, that hell can start today, too, where we live in a place of just being yoked together in sin, slavery to sin, and I've walked that yoke. And I can tell you, when that yoke came off and I entered into this yoke of Jesus, there's a learning. I think we're learning the rest of our lives to walk with him in this yoke. But man, what a place of freedom to be yoked with him. So let's quickly read Psalm 25. And I can leave that psalm with you as well in the interest of time too, as something that you can go back and reflect on. So this is now more this question of, so Lord, I want to be yoked with you. And I've tried the other things. I'm willing to surrender my will and to walk in your will. Lord, help me now to learn to hear your voice. I think probably many of us ask this question, Lord, how do I learn to hear your voice? It says in John 10, he says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. And we probably sit here and say, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to hear your voice and follow him. And so Psalm 25 is a great passage. There's many great passages, but this is a great passage about learning from the Lord and learning to hear his voice. So I'm just going to read it. I'll stop in a couple spots as we go through. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. And he touches on this a couple times. But the first thing that I would highlight is in our desire to now learn of the Lord and to learn from him, there has to be a willingness to wait on him. As we pray and we ask him for direction, those who wait for the Lord will learn to hear his voice. It's not always a pray. All of us know that. It's not pray, boom. But in that moment when we're seeking him, it can feel like, I need an answer now. But let us be brothers and sisters who are willing to wait on him. It gives us this promise that those who wait on him, we can sit there and say, you're gonna be ashamed if you wait. You got to make a decision now, or whatever the case may be. But let's learn to wait on him. And if we do it, we have a promise that we will not be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. That's the contrast. But make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me. And that's the other. So here is point two. The first one was to learn that as we're seeking him, we need patience. We need to be willing to wait. The second here, he says, lead me in your truth. And to me, this is a critical one. It comes back to John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he says to her, you can probably think of this verse. It's a familiar one we talk. It says, she's asking him, how do you worship the Lord? Where do I worship? And he says, you know what? It's not where you worship. He says, what I want is those who worship me in spirit and truth. And this is a really important thing, because what's the common phrase when we would say, and it's true, says, I want to be led by the Spirit, right? I want to be led by the Spirit, which is true. We want to be led by the Spirit. But we have a wonderful safety, I'll call it safety net, as we're seeking to hear the Lord's voice or hear the Spirit's voice, is that it must line up with the truth. And there's many who will say, you've probably experienced this over your life of walking with the Lord. Many will say, well, I heard from the Lord. And you're going, what you heard is contrary to what I know it says in the Word, that I don't know that you heard from the Lord on that. And that's the beautiful thing here. And that's where I believe David, inspired by the Spirit, says, lead me in your truth. So as we're seeking to hear him, this is our safeguard. Is that when we believe we've heard, we can test it against the Word of God and know that it lines up. For you are the God of my salvation, continuing on in verse 5. For you I wait again all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord, for he instructs the sinners in the way. To me, this isn't a point about learning to hear the Lord, but the very foundation of our faith is of a heavenly Father that loves us. Loves us so much he would send his Son for us. Here David says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs the sinner in the way. Like, it's amazing. He doesn't have to instruct us. He takes a sinner and begins to teach a sinner his way. Why? Because the sinner deserves it? No, because he's good and he loves us. So here's the next one, which is really important. Verse 9, he leads the humble in justice and he teaches the humble his way. We know this other verse that says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking, this isn't the Lord just being biased against proud people. Has anybody ever tried to teach a proud person something? I've done my job now for 21 years, short about 2 days, I think. 2 days or 5 days, I can't remember when I started. So over those 21 years, I've worked with many staff. Our job is built on turnover. Like 80% of our people come in. After 3 or 4 years, they're gone. So 21 years later, I've worked with a lot of people. And if you work with somebody who knows everything, it's very hard to teach them anything. It's just the reality. If your child knows everything, it's hard to teach them. This is not God being biased. He's speaking truth. If you sit here and say, I don't need someone to teach me because I know it, you can't learn. So it's just the simple principle. If your desire is to learn of the Lord, you have to come to him with a heart that says, I need to be taught. I don't actually have all the answers. Lord, I need you. But if we come to him feeling like, and so this is a great warning for us, even naturally to the young people, as you start out in getting jobs, those we've just had some graduate, they're just starting, keeping a humble heart that says, you know what? I could always learn. I need to be teachable is the expression. And I've said, I've worked with some people. I can think of two people specifically in my career who struggled immensely. One, they wouldn't even, my work is you take a bunch of staff and you schedule them on jobs. So one staff, you looked at his schedule on the computer, it was blank. Nobody would put him on a job. We had a serious problem. We're paying him to do nothing. So they, Tim, would you work with this person? Yes, okay, I can work with this person. And my expression to him and to the other individual I had a chance to work with was, I need you to be willing to eat the humble pie. That was what I told them. I says, here's what we're going to do. I says, every job you work on, at the end of the job, we're going to ask what you could do better. I'm going to relay that back to you, and you're just going to eat it. And you're just going to, that's your one job, is to listen to whatever the feedback is and apply it. If you do that, you will do well. He went from being somebody that wouldn't get scheduled to one of the top-rated people in our office. The same is true of the other individual who was amazing. He was struggling so badly. Same thing. Unbelievable humility. He wasn't a Christian, but just someone who said, okay, you just tell me whatever it is I need to improve on, and I will do it. Both of these guys just excelled over the course of probably 2 or 3 years by this simple principle. So I'm just saying this. This is just truth. That God, no one can teach someone who's proud because they don't need to be taught. So let us be those, most importantly in our walk with the Lord, but in all areas of our life. Lord, I want to be teachable. I'm one that can be humble, be corrected, and receive that. That's what, isn't it David who says, let the righteous smite me, let my head not refuse it? That's hard, but let's have that heart. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Here's another incredible one. He will instruct him in the way he should choose. If you want the Lord to instruct you in the way that you should choose, you need to have a fear of the Lord. He goes on. In verse, he continues on, his soul will abide in prosperity and descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. It's two times. He will instruct those who fear him in the way they should choose, and he will reveal his secrets to those who fear him. And if you want to understand how to get this fear of the Lord, if you're sitting here going, I'm not sure I have that, Proverbs 2 is a great place to start. But ultimately, if we're sitting here saying, Lord, I desire, and I think this is true for all of us, that all of us can continue to seek, I can continue to seek to have a fear of the Lord. And it just says in Proverbs 2, he says, seek for it as for hidden treasure, search for it as for gold, I believe it says. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. Let's be one, those who wait on him, who test what we hear against the word of God, who walk with a humble heart. We're teachable. We walk in the fear of the Lord. I missed one there. Where was the one I missed? But it says there, let's keep reading. Maybe I'll get to it. But and he will make them to know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. That was the last one I'd had, was my eyes are continually toward the Lord. And this is just lines up with Colossians chapter 3 and a number of the scriptures in the New Covenant where it just says that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Very hard to be learning from him when our eyes are continually elsewhere and we're not seeking him. But to the extent that we're fixing our eyes on him, then we're in a place that he can teach us. We can hear his voice. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. O redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. A lot of times you read the Old Testament, there's so many wonderful truths, and a lot of times, though, at the same time you could read that, it seems very natural. Redeem Israel, O Lord, O God, out of all his troubles. The reality is, I in my heart, I know 100% when he says, deliver me from all my enemies, or do not let my enemies exalt over me. I can pray that too. Lord, do not let my enemies exalt over me. Lord, redeem Israel out of all of his troubles. We just have to understand who our enemies are and what our troubles are. And our troubles, you know, for me, my troubles and my enemies are not people. That is 100% for sure. That's probably more true, a truth we can hold on today, perhaps more than many times, right? So many people want to be negative against other people because they hold different views on all the wonderful things that are happening in our world. Let us be those that remember, Lord, as I read your scripture in this and my desire to hear you and walk with you, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I wrestle against powers and principalities. And the temptation in me is to cause me to sin and all these things. So these things are still true. The last thing, which here's my challenge to you. Now you got to go find where I found this. Point four in this was that we need to obey. As we hear his voice, if we're coming to learn to hear his voice and then we just don't like what we hear, and we're saying, we come back to this place, right, of butting against the yoke. We can't be those that are butting against the yoke. We have to come with a humble heart and a heart that is yielded to him. You know, there's a psalm where David is, Psalm 51, I believe, is the one. After he sins with Bathsheba, right? And he says, I believe it's in that one, he says, sacrifice and burnt offering, Lord, you don't desire, but a broken and a contrite spirit. This is what you desire. And when I think of a broken and a contrite spirit, I do think of somebody who's yoked together. Over the years, I heard many descriptions of what it meant to have a broken and contrite spirit. And in my heart, I struggled with some of the ways that that was conveyed to me. And then I remember, some of you may remember this, I'll test your memory. Years ago, when we met at Claiborne Village, I would share for the kids every Sunday. And I flashed up some pictures. Does anybody remember what those pictures were? This is a real test. Jessica, you remember? What's that? Yes, it was a horse. And it was something the Lord showed me, and I was so thankful. The expression, to break a horse, all of a sudden that came to my mind. And I went and I found these hilarious pictures of horses just sitting completely, this one, I think it was sitting on a hay bale, just in perfect submission to the rider. And it was just a picture for me of, this is what it means to have that humble and broken contrite spirit, is to be like a broken horse that walks in total, just whatever the rider is asking it to do, or the master, so to speak, is asking it to do. And that's what the Lord desires, a broken and a contrite spirit. Not that we're, but this is because, let's not forget, the devil will tell you, why would I want to do that? Why would you want to do that? That's not a place of rest. That's slavery. It's the opposite. That is the place of rest. When we can come to that state and say, Lord, let me have this will that is so broken, so surrendered to your will, and an ear that is so attentive to hear your voice, Lord. That's all I want. Because I've come to realize this is the place of rest. This is the place where my burden and my everything, all that weight is gone, is when I'm totally submitted and surrendered to you and I'm walking with you. Any other thought is a lie that says that that's not a place of perfect rest. So it's a wonderful encouragement to you this morning. It's a wonderful encouragement to me. Have a look at Psalm 25 again. You can spend more time looking at that. And other verses, other passages that talk about learning to hear his voice so that we can be brothers and sisters that walk yoked together with Jesus and experience this rest, this peace that he offers us, that he talks about in that passage.